welcome to a live broadcast of Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. We walked down the little roads in Cumberland and stooped because the sky hung down so low, and no place that we went was far. The earth and the sky hung close and near, and the old hunger returned, the obscure and terrible hunger that haunts and hurts Americans, makes us exiles in our own land, strangers wherever we go. I will go up and down the country and back and forth across the country. I will go out west for the States or Square. I will go to Boise, Helena, Albuquerque, all the unknown places. Say, brother, have you heard the thunder of the fast express? Have you seen starlight on the rails? Continental Divide is called the Hump in tramp parlance. I first crossed the Hump as a young tramp up in Glacier National Park in Montana. It is a singular experience in a young tramp's life, your first trip across the Great Divide. It's like a sailor's first trip over the equator. It is an occasion fraught with ritual and massive libation. The ritual is that you get up, as you know you've topped the divide, you lurch to the boxcar door, you grab the jam firmly in one hand so you're not pitched out into the unrelieved wilderness. And, well, there's no, yeah, there's a radio legal way to say this. You take out your lily and siphon it on the wind. But then you can spend the rest of your natural existence visualizing your own natural bodily fluids, half of them flowing down to the Platte River, the Mississippi, the Gulf of Mexico, the other half into the drainage system of the Columbia River, down to the Pacific Ocean and the far Spice Islands beyond. It is a cosmic experience, cosmic experience. This is a folk song. We are folk singers. You're ostensibly the folk, Nespa. That means you own this song, right? Yeah. And it belongs to you. You're going to sing it, aren't you? Ah, I don't want to have to remind you once again that there is no Republican folk music. Railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. There you'll find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. Hey, railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. For those of you who are going to are listening to this on the radio, I know it goes to Albany, New York, and Whitesburg, Kentucky, and I talked a lot about our town to those people and tell them why they should steer clear of it. I tell them you come to Nevada City, you walk down the street, you get shot deader than hell. The place is violent place. Stay away. Well, you folks out there, we are doing this live Loafer's Glory from the Miner's Foundry, the old gold mining gold rush town here, Nevada City. The Miner's Foundry is where the Pelton wheel was manufactured, which was essential to the mining industry. Of course, the gold rush is over, but the bums rush is on. We are they. In 1914 I started to roam, out through Wyoming, no money, no home. And I was a-drifting along with the tide, landed out over the Great Divide. Railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. The Rose Tattoo is not a band, it is not an orchestra, it is not a choral group.
For sure.
It is a social club of people whose lives are about the trains, tramping on the freight trains, working on the freight trains, like Bob here is the locomotive engineer. Larry here writes the best train songs imaginable and knows a lot about the history of the railroad. Our lives are about trains. Also, we sing old songs and we make up new ones when we think it's necessary, and we all carry a rose tattoo. And that's all it is. It's just a self-perpetuating myth that cruises around the country. As I say, we've known each other from different parts of the country, different parts of Canada, so we just decided over the years to have a yearly rendezvous and catch up with each other and catch up on our life and times. And then this rendezvous is here in our hometown, the Cuddy's up on the ridge at an undisclosed location, so don't even think of trying to find it. All right, now. And we're going to do this whole Over's Glory here, 1 hour show, and then we'll have the intermission. And afterward, there's a whole lot of other tattoos from different parts of the country that have come in that are out around there. We're going to invite them up on the stage to sing to you in the second half. And that'll be, you folks in Radio Land, that'll be the best half, you know. Too bad you won't be here. Oh. Take a head out the window and see how it feels. Number nine's a-coming the fastest on wheels. At 90 an hour, she whistles with pride, thunders out over the Great Divide. Railroading along the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. And as an additional attraction, which was provided for by Cuddy down there, Feather River Kid. When you go out here to intermission to pish, you know how at these events, the Night Live, we always sell wine. We sell some of Nevada City's best premium wine. Well, Cuddy had provided us with a case of Wild Irish Rose. Fortified wine, courtesy of the kind folks at the Richards Company in Canandaigua, New York. This is the Tramp's friend. We also have a whole case full of Night Train. Old Screw Top, again, it's going to be available by the glass or by the bottle. This is the Richard Wild Irish Rose. I mean, it is piquant. It is a trifle aggressive and mildly impertinent. This doesn't have legs. It has boots. It's a... But I guarantee this is an exceptionally fine week. I remember crawling under many a bush with this stuff. I remember a poem I scribed on a wall while I was sleeping on a grate behind a dry cleaner's in Seattle, Washington. I made a paean to this. See if I know it. We'll drink to the rose that Barbara Ellen grew, and the last rose to bid the summer fond adieu. And all the dear companions like roses faded now, but the rose within my glass is the last time we'll allow. Your ruby anesthetic will dull the sullen truth as we live in faded elegance beyond the dreams of youth. Yet dreaming still of other things, though not so fair or fine, we sleep entwined with Morpheus in the painless arms of wine. Well, some will lead the cripple, and some will lead the blind. What of alms for him whose wound is of the mind? Well, he will find release with the maid who bids him sup, for she has left a lover's kiss within the beggar's cup. And through all the storms that find us on the other side of life, she's been the bum's confessor, she's been the hobo's wife. And ere the book is finished, as the final pages close, I'll toast one fond remembrance to my Wild Irish Rose. Ask any old-timer around old Cheyenne, railroading Wyoming is the best in the land. a long steel rail and a short cross tie laid out over the great divide. Hey, railroading on the great divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. If there you find me as years go by, railroading on the great divide. Well, now, what can you say about Mark Ross? He's from Butte, Montana, and he makes ugly pork chops. I won't even tell you how that came about. You wouldn't want to know about that. But that's your new moniker now. We call him Smokestack, but now it's Ugly Pork Chops. How do you like it? You earned it. Oh, what do you want to do for
me? I think I will do the oldest hobo song extant. It's a great word, extant. I was working in a play in New York City years ago, and they asked me to write out a bio for the program. And I said, you know, I play half a dozen to a dozen instruments with varying degrees of competency. In fact, I can make a noise on just about anything. And the stage manager felt called upon to clean up my English, and it came out in the program printed as, he can play any musical instrument extant. I said, there's a hell of a big difference between you can make a noise on just about anything and play every musical instrument extant. Make sure that one's in tune. Hobo John, he's a good old rounder, and dead and gone, he's dead and gone. Lord, dead and gone. He's a good old rounder, and dead and gone. Well, Charlie Snyder was a good engineer, and he told his fireman, don't you have no fear. All the need is a little water and coal. Stick your head out the window, watch the drivers roll, watch the drivers roll. Watch the drivers roll. Stick your head out the window, watch the drivers roll. Well, the fireman said, now before I die, there's five more things that I'd like to ride. Bicycle, tricycle, automobile. Well, a bow-legged lady and a Ferris wheel. And a Ferris wheel. And a Ferris wheel. Well, a bow-legged lady and a Ferris wheel. Well, Jingle's daughter said before she died, there's two more trains that you'd like to ride. Tell my daughter what came to be. Well, the Yachts in Topeka and Santa Fe. And Santa Fe. Yeah, it's in Topeka and Santa Fe. Well, Jacob's daughter said before she died, there's two more drinks that you'd like to try. Tell my daughter what came to be. Well, a glass of water and a cup of tea. And a cup of tea. And a cup of tea. Well, a glass of water and a cup of tea. Well, the fireman said, now before I die, there's two more things I'd like to try. Tell me, fireman, what can to be? Well, the landlady's daughter and landlady. And landlady. And landlady. Well, the landlady's daughter and landlady. Well, Jiggles' daughter said before she died, Papa fixed the blinds so the bums can't ride. If they gotta ride, let them ride the rods. Put their trust in the hands of God, in the hands of God. In the hands of God. Let them put their trust in the hands of God. It's early one morning, it began to rain, and around the curve came a passing train. The only rider, he's Hobo John. He's a good old rider, and dead and gone. He's dead and gone. Lord, dead and gone. He's a good old rounder and dead and gone. Let's carry him home. Mm-hmm.
Mark, he's the best. Mark is the best. He's from Butte, Montana. He came down from Butte with Rick Plieri, who's out here. He's from Vermont. And he moved to Butte, Montana when he heard there wasn't any work there. Well, now, here's Bad Bob the Bandit. Is that your moniker?
No, that's not my moniker.
Well, there was an outlaw. It was up in Spokane, wasn't it?
That's
I got
true.
You confused.
That's true.
Yeah,
no.
Okay, got it.
Back in the 70s, they used to call me Boomer Bob because I'd worked for four different railroads and done all kinds of railroad work. Was a section man, a gandy dancer, a switchman, what they called a snake in them old days, a stinger, which is a brakie, a conductor, the big O, or the captain, and of course, fireman, the tallipot, and now I'm a hog head, engineer.
Engineer on the Union Pacific Railroad.
Yeah. The Union Pacific Railroad. Maybe we better not talk about that.
You can't spell stupid without UP.
It's written on the inside of most of the engines right now. That's right. Well, you know, Bruce, many years ago, an old conductor named Slick Souls told me something that didn't make much sense to me, but the longer I'm on the railroad, the more sense it makes, and that is, I just don't understand everything I know about railroading. But you know, it's one of those things that kind of takes time to kind of... But, and at my right here is my long-suffering friend, companion, wow. Plumber, general workabout town, and wife, Diana. She's, back in 1978, she was a member of the pioneer class of tradeswomen. The president, Mr. Carter there, said, guess what? If you want federal funds, you're going to have to put women in the trades. She was first in line, and she was a union plumber for over 20 years, so she got her hip replaced. Yeah.
And I even had to fix Mr. Phillips's shower this afternoon.
It's right. True.
True.
Well, when you had all these guys, I got one little house, and you all come down from the mountain to use Madame Shara, what'd you expect?
Well, I don't know what I expected.
She had brought plumbing tools with her, anticipating this crisis.
Let me tell you, at Christmas time, guys would come up and ask me, what are you going to get your wife for Christmas? And I'd say, well, a Sawzall, I think. And they all thought I was kidding, but I wasn't. It was great.
We needed to use the shower. Odoriferous ergo sum. I stink, therefore I am.
And we were there. I remember old Tobacco Joe. Old Tobacco Joe said, Diana. He said, switch the blue one with the new one, turn the head one with the red one, shove and spot. So why don't we just shove and spot? Here's an old song from the 20s.
I'm going back south, so help me, dear, if I can get a train. There's a certain brakeman who runs from Birmingham, and I know he's willing to take me back to Bam. Oh, Mr. Brakeman, let me ride your train. I'll pay you when I get back home again. Oh, I'll get by that station guard standing at that gate. If you let me ride the runs on that southern freight, I can't wait to see that man of mine. I'm from the south. Take a drink and shut your mouth. Mr. Brakeman, let me ride your train. Oh, Mr. Brakeman, please don't put me off this train.
No, you need a ticket to ride this train, girl.
But I'm a good old gal.
Yes, you a fine, sweet young thing, and maybe if you just pay me back later, I'll let you ride.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, you just stay low and hide from that mean old ticket agent over in the corner, and I'll give you the high sign.
Oh, thank you, sir. Mr. Brakeman, let me ride your train. Oh, Mr. Brakeman, let me ride your train. I can't stand out in this cold and rain. Oh, the frost done bit my nose and feet, and my hair is turning gray. Take me back to where I know I'll eat once or twice a day. I just want some loving from my man. Shelf. If you do, I might kill myself. Mr. Brakeman, let me ride your train.
Come on, gal, get on board.
Thank you, Mr. Brakeman.
Did you threw a shoe there?
Yeah. I had these fake nails on because I tore them up when we were up playing for 15, 16 hours a day. So I put some fake nails on and they came off right in the middle of that song there. They went flying everywhere.
Kind of fun. Yeah. Let's see, I guess let's go down. Now, Cuddy down here is the one who kind of brings us all together. He also does a railroad festival out in Ely, Nevada. Place ain't exactly nowhere, but you can see it from there.
For sure.
Ely. But I first met Cuddy when I was, it's 25 years ago.
Closer to 30.
Closer to 30, playing the Old Red Herring in Champaign, Illinois. Yeah, you'd worked for the railroad there as a telegrapher.
Right.
Yeah. Sing them.
All right. Beat it, Bo, while your feet are mates. We'll see the whole United States with a pal and a song and a fire at night, up in the early morning bright, with nothing but road and sky in sight and nothing to do but go. Beat it, Bo, while the walking's good, while the bird on the wire is still sawing wood. If today ain't the best for you and me, well, there's always tomorrow come and see, and the day after that is gonna be, and there's nothing to do but go. Well, I'm the rambling son with the itchy feet. I never was meant for that steady beat. Oh, I've had a good job for a little spell, and I've been on the road, and I've hit it swell. But there's only one road to fare thee well, and there's nothing to do but go. Cause we can't always do what
what we're told. Please tell me where have all the hobos gone to? I see no fires burning by the rusty railroad track. Could it be that time's gone and left us tied up in life's eternal traveling sack? I wrote a letter to my loved ones. I signed my name. I realized I'd been gone way too long. There was a time when my heart was longed for freedom, and I remember as I sing this hobo song. Please tell me where have all the hobos gone to? I seen old fires burning by the rusty railroad track. Could it be that time's gone and left us tied up in life's eternal traveling sand? Tied up in life's eternal traveling sand.
Folks out on the listening audience and radio land, keep those cards and letters. Now, they said, and they didn't lie, that you could listen to, you get on your internet, I can't do it, I don't know how, but you do hobo.org, and you'll get the National Hobo Association, and then it such exists. And tramp technology, you know, you take advantage of everything that's there. You got tramps that are setting up email addresses at the public libraries. That just makes sense, doesn't it? You got tramps with old Army service Russian surplus equipment scanners to get the calls from the head engine to the tower. They got infrared binoculars to spot the trains at night. I mean, it's really blossomed in these waning days of Babylon. I first met Haywire Bruce Brackney. Was it you were gold mining up in Northern California?
I was, yeah. I think we met in Eureka, actually, but I'd come down from the mountain where I was doing my best to insist that it were the 1870s rather than the 1970s.
You learned your lesson, didn't you?
Indeed, I did, yeah.
Well, now he's currently from Victoria, British Columbia. And you've been up there a long time.
I have, nearly 17 years.
How does it feel to come back down to the motherland for a couple of days? Is it shocking?
It is, you know, 17 years there, and Canadians still somehow know I'm a Yank. I'm not exactly sure why or how they know that.
Sight gags on the radio, isn't that terrific?
No, I retire. It's a pleasure and honor to come down here, of course, to my native land and to associate with the rest of my comrades and compadres here. But
I just hope you don't get sick down here.
That's right. This is the land of social Darwinism in practice, after all, isn't it? I thought I would try a song that recently fell into my unworthy lap from a number of different directions. A musical pal up home brought this to my attention. He was collecting a book of his grandfather's singing. And his grandfather had hoboed out in Western Canada after the turn of the century and had ridden with the outlaw Bill Miner. I digress for a moment. You know who Bill Miner was? He robbed 26 stages in Arizona in the 1800s and was put in San Quentin for 20 years. They released him in 1900. He made his way north and then began to rob the Canadian Pacific Railroad.
Yeah! He was an old man.
He was an old man at the time. Made a movie about it, by the way, The Gray Fox, if you ever have a chance to see it. Yeah. So anyway, my pal's granddad hoboed about with Bill Miner and had this song. And it refers to the Grand Hobo Convention in Montreal, which is from up on my side of the border. So I thought it would be appropriate. After we play tonight and down in Berkeley on the weekend, we're headed to Elko, Nevada, us and others you will meet later in the evening, to perform at the Hobo Millennium Rendezvous. Sponsored by the National Hobo Association. Anyone out there in earshot of us can make their way there. It's at milepost 557 on the Union Pacific Railroad.
Right and on so, the main line, brother.
It is. And so he, my pal, had the song, the lyrics, some of them, and a vestigial remembrance of the melody. So I went to the internet, as Utah just described, to the Mudcat Cafe, where I found a version of the song that had been collected in 1930, but had some other lyrics to it. And then Rick Pollieri, who you'll meet a little bit later, came to the Hobo camp with the Hobo Bible, actually. It's called The Hobo's Horn Book by George Milburn, written in the 30s, and in it were some other lyrics. So between the three of them, we've clumped this together, and I hope I don't train wreck on this one. But there is a precedent, you see, for what we do here. Now, this one is allegedly perhaps apocryphal, but took place after the turn of the century upon the retirement of a hobo by the name of Frenchie Leboeuf, who became a home guard. That is, he no longer traveled but had an address. And a number of his friends, some of whom were of ill repute, yeggs by description, went to his domicile and regaled him to come back out on the road. And this is a song that emanated from that, and it's called The Hobo's Grand Convention.
You give me your attention, a few facts I would mention concerning a convention that was held in the fall. The bows, they were excited when they heard they were invited to the Hobo's Grand Convention that was held in Montreal. They came gliding through the tunnels, hanging from the funnels. Every bow and bum was loaded to the gills. Every bow and restless mover from Frisco to Vancouver, Chicago and Milwaukee, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And there, no cursing there or fighting. All the bows were loaded to the neck with alcohol. The burleys brought Havanas, rolled up in blue bandanas, to the hobos' grand convention that was held in Montreal. They commit some great maneuvers, these bold and restless rovers, from New York to Vancouver and from Texas to St. Paul, while riding on the Pullmans while they traveled through the tunnels to the hobos' grand convention that was held in Montreal. Crooks, they got directions to go out and make connections, get a swag of plunder and to bring it to the hall. So they moved along the border, and the chairman rapped for order at the hobo's grand convention that was held in Montreal.
Glad there are some people who still have enough cortex left to be able to learn all those words. You know,
in 3 days.
Can you do that anymore? I can't do that. Larry Penn comes from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is called Cream City because of some stuff that was painted on the buildings years ago. Cream City, they call him Cream City Slim, and he was a steel hauler up until retirement. I drove a truck. But I've heard about him for years and years and years. We finally met. Where did we meet up in? Was it in Milwaukee?
In Sacramento. Well, we met in Milwaukee a time or two, sure, but just like passing ships in the night.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, this is also the senior member in the firm, and he's not the newest tattoo anymore. Pellieri is, isn't he?
Right.
Who's counting?
Who counts?
Senior member, I suppose being a senior member causes you to think once in a while about reincarnation. or the resurrection, if you prefer. When the railroads were starting to spin off their marginal trackage, the Illinois Central Railroad was no exception. And they spun off a piece of track down in a geographical location of Illinois called Little Egypt because of its proximity. It resembles the Egypt in the Middle East where the Mississippi and the Ohio River come together there. That's Delta Country. The name of this railroad that they spun off was called the Crab Orchard and Egyptian Railroad. And I had never heard of it until I met Mr. Cuddy over there, but the name it intrigued me. But it started out as a tourist line, and of course that didn't make any money. And nobody wanted to go down to Southern Illinois and ride a train. So they still operate, you know, as a freight line. They interchange freight between the Union Pacific and the Illinois Central's main line. The steam engines that they had, one went to Keokuk, Iowa, and one went to Britt, Iowa. Nobody knows what happened to the passenger cars until this little festival that Cuddy started over in Ely there. One of the perks for the job is that you get to ride on the train. And lo and behold, the two passenger cars there on that little railroad in Nevada there, called the Nevada Northern. Two passenger cars were from the Crab Orchard and Egyptian Railroad. Still could ride on any railroad. The there was an old-time friend of mine. He said, let's go take a ride down to southern Illinois, just north of Cairo. We can rest up from the rail at the flop in Carbondale and take a job there working in the mine. 'Cause they're digging up the coal with a shovel that can hold more than all the sands of Egypt on the Nile. When I close my eyes, I hear it singing to a strange metallic sound along the way. Used to be a tourist line, now I haul the freight sometime. It's the old Crab Orchard and Egyptian Railroad. As soon as we arrived, we were quick to realize that nothing stays the same along the railroad. 'Cause all is shutting down in the countryside around, has left it there with nothing for a payload. The flop in Carbondale went for Wrecker's ball or sale, and all the mining dreams are in a pile. And they say it won't be long until all the coal is gone and the gem of little Egypt will be idle. When I close my eyes, I hear it singing to a strange metallic sound along the way. Used to be a tourist line, now I haul the freight sometime. It's the old Crab Orchard and Egyptian Railroad. Not so long ago, when the good old days were gold and a hobo still could ride on any railroad.
Up great songs. You are the chief crabapple in our orchard. Monikers, yeah, you get in here. Can we change your moniker to crabapple?
No, I'm going to tell the real reason why it's Cream City, though. It's because the clay that they mined to make the bricks in Milwaukee back in those times was yellow, and it looked in the sun like it was cream. There were all these buildings made out of these cream-colored bricks.
As opposed to Chicago Commons, which are red.
Crab apples.
Crab apples are red, too.
Ugly pork chops. Boxes. Well, you want me to sing this, and I'll try to remember it. If I don't, then I'll sing it to you again sometime. I was in Rolla, Missouri, the little tiny club there called the Blue Heron Rookery. And the book on the counter, a local fellow had written, and out there because there was a convention going on. I went into the place early, and there was this convention going on, and it was the orphan train people. And I had never heard of such a thing, that from the 1850s on, well into this century, that the Children's Home Society in New York and the Home for Little Wanderers up in Massachusetts harvested kids off of the skids, out of the doorways, out of the alleys, abandoned children, cleaned them up, taught them some manners, and then took them with chaperones on orphan trains out into the West, which was out into what we now call the Midwest. And they were adopted I've got at home, they gave me one of the contracts that a farmer had to sign, and there was a county agent that would go and check to make sure the child wasn't being abused. There were abuses, and sometimes families were split up, for sure. But by and large, most of them that I talked to, and these were the children and grandchildren of orphan-trained people, and a lot of them were orphan-trained people themselves, some of them still looking in their 80s for brothers and sisters that they'd been separated from years before. And I asked them, what are your orphan-trained songs? And they said, well, there aren't any. So I read that little book, and then I got in my car, and I drove up the Great River Road along the Mississippi. I wanted us to the road that hugs the banks of the Mississippi all the way up to headwaters there at Brainerd. And along about Nauvoo, Illinois, the old Mormon capital, I turned, well, it was like I turned on my car radio, only it was in my head, and I was listening to Lula Bell and Scotty sing this song. You know, it's just the way songs ought to happen to me, and it did. But see, then it means I could send it to him. And I did, through the mail, and say, does this fit the bill? What would you do to change this song? See? Wish me luck. Once I had a darling mother, though I can't recall her name. I had a baby brother who I'll never see again. For the children's home is sending us out on the orphan train to try to find someone to take us in. Take us in, we have rode the orphan train. Take us in, we need a home, we need a name. Take us in,
take us in.
Oh, won't you be our kin? We are looking for someone to take us in.
Take us in.
I have stolen from the poor box, I have roamed the city streets. I have swamped the bars and pool rooms for a little bite to eat. In my daddy's old gray jacket and his rags upon my feet, I've been looking for someone to take me in. Take us in,
take us in.
We have rode the orphan train. Take us in, we need a home, we need a name. Take us in,
take us in.
Oh, won't you be our kin? And we are looking for someone to take us in. The children's home, they gathered us, me and all the rest. They taught us to sit quietly until the food was blessed. They put us on the orphan trains and sent us way out west to try to find someone to take us in. The farmers and their families, they rode in for miles around. We lined up on the platform of the station in each town. And one by one we parted like some living lost and found. And one by one we all were taken in. Take us in,
take us in.
We have rode the orphan train. Take us in, we need a home, we need a name. Take us in,
take us in.
Oh, won't you be our kin? We are looking for someone to take us in. Now there's many a fine doctor or a teacher in your school. There's many a good preacher who can preach the golden rule. Who started out an orphan sleeping in the freezing rain. Whose life began out on the orphan train. Take us in,
take us in.
We have rode the orphan train. Take us in,
in,
we need a home, we need a name. Take us in,
take us in.
Oh, won't you be our kin? We are looking for someone to take us in. Take us in.
Take us in.
Oh, won't you be our kin? We are looking for someone to take us in.
Take us in.
That's the way those songs happen. It was odd. David Massengill, do you know his work? A fine songwriter from the East. We met in Winnipeg Folk Festival. He wrote an orphan train song. And we sat on the stage at a workshop next to each other, and he sang the one he made up, and I sang the one I made up, and they used the same images. at Living Lost and Found. You know, it just happened, two ends of the country at the same time. It was a remarkable, remarkable experience. We've got about 10 more minutes. Do you guys, can you do a 10-minute version of, I bet you can.
Is the Pope Polish?
Is the, are the shoes of the fisherman made by Brunswick? Yeah. All right, well then you guys will sing this, and then when I point at you, you'll start up that theme number two, and we'll run this train into the station, and then we will kind of hang out in the lobby for a while. Too bad you folks out there in Radio Land, especially in Troy, goddammit, New York, and you know you don't want to be there. You want to be here, but no, we're going to be swilling wild Irish rose in the lobby of the Miners, the Shriners Foundry, here in downtown Metropolitan Nevada City, California. Holy Moses. All right, well, let's do, lead us in this paean to prison.
The same damn thing. There's knife and fork upon the table, beef and biscuits in the pan. You say anything about it, you're in trouble with a man. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. It's ever loving light on me. Yonder comes Miss Rosie.
Oh, that's the dress
how
I bought that
world
woman.
Did you know?
I know it because I paid for it, man.
Well, I knew her by her apron and the dress she wore.
How would you know that dress?
There's an umbrella on her shoulder, the piece of paper. She's telling to the captain,
yeah, release me, man.
Turn loose my man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Shine it, man.
Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me.
Thank you for being here with us for the first live edition of Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. This has been Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest and the Rose Tattoo, and thanks for listening. The fire is down. The fire is out. The moon is down, the parting glass is past and done, and I am bound to leave this town before the rising of the sun. The long's the way and far's the mile until my rest my soul again, with those who weep and those who smile, and all the words and ways of man. Well, some there are who may not bide, but wander till the journey's end, nor take a girl to be a bride, nor take a man to be a friend. And when I'm through with wandering, I'll sit by the road and weep for all the songs I never sang and promises I did not keep.